Welcome. If you're visiting this morning, if you're a guest this morning, welcome. This is the body of Christ, and you know, while this is, it's really hard. I think it's really difficult for us to hear, and I think it's even more difficult, maybe for you to understand if you've not been involved. I speak for all the elders and for myself, and say that we would support Gus's decision in this. I don't think it's something that anyone, it's not something that anyone wants, but it seems to be the best decision right now in helping their marriage move forward toward healing. And there's an opportunity for you as a body of Christ. There's an opportunity for all of us in the way that we respond. I imagine that many of you will, or just hearing this, we'll have many questions, and I would encourage you to come speak to the leadership of the church. Bob's one of our elders. He was up here. Chris is one of our elders, if you'd raise your hand. Monty is one of our elders at the church. One of the things that is one of our values on the wall is being financially generous. And one thing that wasn't said is that we plan to continue to support Gus and Alice, you know, for several months as they kind of work through this transition and work through what is next. You know, the truth is that transitions happen in every church. Every body of Christ goes through seasons and they have transitions. I'll never forget the time when Karen and I made a decision to leave Arkansas. We were part of a wonderful church there, beautiful ministry, great things were happening in the ministry. It was a great place, but kind of, you know, we spent at least a year just going, it seemed like it was time. It's time for us to do this. Our marriage was okay. But the ministry that we were doing there looks a lot different than it does today. You know, Karen and I, she was raising the kids. I was gone doing the ministry. It was hard. Transitions are hard. We didn't really have all the answers of what would be next. Only that the Lord told us that it was time. And I just remember hitting that you're now leaving Arkansas sign, and we were crying our eyes out, going, Lord, what are we doing? You know, did we get this right or not? But during our time in Indiana, we were able to rest, and was working in a trailer factory, and we were able to just rest and focus on one another. In fact, even during that time, there's this temptation to try to get involved in the ministry again, and I called the church and said, man, I could do music for you, I could do small groups and all that kind of stuff, and you know what? They never called me back. I was offended. I was offended that they wouldn't call me, but even now, just going through this with Gus and Alice, I'm just now realizing that, you know what? The Lord was saying, it's time, it's just time for you to take some rest, time for you to just focus. And it was during that time that we found the beach in Michigan. Man, the beach was our special place to go and just to find healing and rest. Yeah, and at that time, we didn't know what the future was. And we don't get to always know what the next step is. But it's kind of like when God told Abram to just to go. And not knowing, where. But you just take the step, and then you go. And so there's some things that are unanswered for Gus and Alice. You know, exactly what's next or what's the next thing. We're glad that you're able to stay in the body. That's good for us. And so we're glad that you're here. How do you respond? How do you respond to news like that? Five things that I think it's important for us to remember as the body of Christ. Number one is this: God is faithful. God is faithful. We just preached through the attributes of God, and we talked about God's faithfulness. Gus, Alice, God will be faithful to you. I remember when you guys first came to Grimes from Africa. Here's this couple that shows up in the church. It was in February, so it's winter outside. Here are Gus and Alice showing up at the church, I was excited to see them. We'd never had anybody come from Africa to church, and so it was that was pretty cool. And if you know their story and you know how they got here, I've always admired that you would take a step like that to be here for family. And then to watch God honor that sacrifice and the courage. I mean, these folks showed up here with 10 totes and an apartment and eventually some furniture from IKEA. But yeah, God was doing something there. God was being faithful. Gus was part of the staff about 6 months later. And so our commitment to you is to be faithful. We have an opportunity as the body of Christ to be faithful to Gus and Alice and to support them through this transition. And so God will be faithful. I'm confident of that. He'll be faithful to you. And he'll also be faithful to the church. God will be faithful to the church. We don't really know what tomorrow holds. What we do know, we know the one that does know what tomorrow holds. And my experience has been always that God is faithful. You see, not only was God showing Gus and Alice and leading them into this place when they first moved here, but God was also being faithful and answering the prayer, my prayers of a partner in ministry to help with the leadership of this church. And I would say, and I would echo with Gus, that 9 years have been pretty amazing. We've seen some pretty great stuff happen here. Some weird stuff. Like, pastors don't normally go and fix plumbing at people's houses, do they? I don't know. But that's just the kind of ministry that we've been able to do. Just weird stuff that's out of the box, helping people. Gus and Alice, one of the great things about Gus and Alice is that they are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a servant heart and have maybe a special gifting just for serving. And they were part of an answer to prayer. But we know God's faithful. Hebrews 13:5 says it this way. It says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Do you believe that? Do you guys believe that as the body of Christ? Have you not seen and witnessed that in your own lives? In many of your stories, God has been faithful to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe especially in the midst of the hardest times that you go through in life. Amen. We find that God is faithful. Remember that. Remember that during this transition. And remember this, that God is the one that's in control. Ephesians 1:11 says it this way. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan," listen to this, "according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that this pastoral transition is not happening outside of the will of God. God's working something that we can't see. So the question isn't, who's in control. The question is, will you rest in Him and trust in Him during this transition? Now, I think this is an important place to acknowledge that everyone is facing a battle. And hopefully, maybe in the midst of this, and maybe in the midst of their humility, and in the midst of their testimony this morning, that you would realize that everyone faces a battle. I have my own battles that I go through. And guess what? We have an enemy. We have an enemy. And the enemy's desire is to destroy us. The enemy's desire is to attack our families and our marriages. The enemy doesn't like the church, doesn't appreciate what the church does, doesn't appreciate this church. Paul urged the church in Ephesus to put on the full armor of God. Why? Why would we put on the full armor of God? He says this in Ephesians 6, verse 12. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers. It's against the authorities. It's against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's where our struggle and our battle lies. And you know what? I'm encouraged to know that many of you pray for your leaders. Some of you, and most of you, maybe all of you, are going to be pretty frustrated by this as you digest this, and maybe a bit angry. And you know what? That's okay. But I would encourage you, in the midst of those things, to pray. Be angry with the enemy. And keep mindful that there is a spiritual battle going on. But this verse promises, this idea that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, it's a promise to us that the enemy doesn't get the last say in our lives. The enemy doesn't get the last say in your lives, Gus and Alice. Because we sang about it this morning in the first song, didn't we? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And our prayer is that part of God's will in this is that you'll find healing and that you'll find restoration. You'll find the rest and the focus that you need, Gus and Alice. The third thing that we need to remember is that God plans good out of this transition. Even when we can't see it, we don't always get to see the good. But we know the promise. We know the promise in Romans 8:28. We quote it all the time. It's one of the verses that we have memorized, that we have in our minds. And the promise that says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Which verse follows that? We remember that verse. Do you know what the verse that follows that says? And it gives us insight into this verse. It says that we are being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Sometimes our greatest growth as believers comes in the midst of adversity. In fact, I would argue that many times, oftentimes, I wouldn't want to qualify it by saying that all the time, because we can grow when it's good. But adversity makes us stand firm. We stand up and we fight. And the purpose of adversity sometimes in our lives is to conform us to the likeness of Jesus. My prayer is that the outcome of this struggle will be a stronger testimony and a greater witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that your example of humility in coming to this decision is part of being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. And I think as the body of Christ, there's a greater opportunity here for us to live out God's grace, his love, his kindness to Gus and Alice. And my prayer is that when we get beyond this and we begin to see God's purpose in it, that we would be able to look back and, like Joseph did with his brothers, he says, you know what? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. We don't always get to see what's on the back side of the equation. We don't get to see that. And that's why God does, and we trust him. That's why we trust that God's faithful and that he's in control. I would also say this to you, though, that it's okay for you to weep. You know, while good can come out of this transition, that really doesn't make the situation, and anything that I say this morning isn't going to make the situation any less hard or any less sad. In fact, there may be a whole range of emotions, shock, frustration, I think a deep sense of loss. As I've been processing this for a while, I've been trying to just figure out, well, what's it going to be like? I think a deep sense of loss. Yeah. Yeah, Gus and Alice are more than just ministry partners. They're friends. And even while they're not leaving the body, praise God for that. Their involvement in the church is going to look a little different as they kind of step back from their ministries for a while. I think it's appropriate that we would respond with sadness in our hearts and a sense of loss. I'm reminded of how the Ephesian elders, they wept over Paul when he said goodbye. Do you remember that in Acts chapter 20? And Paul's saying farewell, and while they're not saying farewell, I think it's appropriate that we read this. And it says that in Acts 20, verse 36, it says, and when he had said these things, Paul talking here, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. I believe the Ephesians, they knew that God would be with them. They knew that God was in control and that he was going to bring about good out of the transition. But nevertheless, they wept. It's okay. It's okay to weep. In fact, it's actually a way of saying thank you to both God and to Gus and to Alice. Yeah. And the final thing to remember is this, is that there should be a greater resolve in your own hearts, in our own hearts as the body of Christ, and that the work of the ministry, it's going to continue in this community. You know, Gus and Alice are incredible servants of God. But even as they take time to focus on their marriage, the ministry of the church is going to continue. And the Lord may be calling you to step up in the body. This may be an opportunity and a time for you to step up and lead. I know that sometimes in churches there's a temptation, maybe when a leader, you know, it steps down to scatter. The church scatters. This isn't the time for that. It's a time for us to rise up. It's a time for us to stand firm. You know the Great Commission, right? We've talked about that enough, right? What does it say? It says, go therefore and make disciples. And it doesn't say, like, if you have a pastor, right? It doesn't matter. No, the charge is for us to go and make disciples of all the nations, to baptize and to teach. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our focus and our leader. He promises there to his disciples at the end of Matthew, and guess what? I'm going to be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the age. And that Great Commission applies to everyone. You are the church. We are the church together. The pastors are not the church. In fact, if we're doing our job well as pastors, Ephesians 4 makes sense. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Who's doing the building there? The people being prepared for works of service are building up the body of Christ. This is an opportunity for you to build up the body of Christ, church. Specifically, Gus and Alice. And I'd ask that you would pray for the elders. You know, sometimes when you hear these things, you're like, well, what are we going to do about this or that? And some people have this practical mind that we immediately just want to know, like, dun, 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 now. I don't know. Is that good enough for you? I don't know. Our hope is to meet and retreat and to pray at the end of May. And believe that God will give us direction for what's to come. And I would ask that you, as the body of Christ, pray for your leaders. You know, if you need answers to that question, the current plan is, I'm going to preach more. So, that's part of it. The staff, the elders, are going to pick up some of Gus's responsibilities if you need that. In fact, next week we're going to begin a series that I feel really will... We're going to look at the book of Philippians, because I feel like this book is right for this time, for this church. The theme of Philippians is this. It's this idea of fighting as one. You know, Philippians was written to a military community. Fighting as one. And so that's our plan, is to look at the book of Philippians. I think that you will be encouraged as the body. I think it will be encouraging for me to study that as a pastor. And so I want to kind of end with just for you to think about this question. Lord, maybe answer this question and maybe ask God this question. Lord, what do you want from me right now? How should I respond? Pray. Seek God. Weep. It's okay. Be an encouragement to one another. Be an encouragement to Gus and Alice. Thank Gus and Alice for their ministry. I love this verse in Hebrews 13:7. It says this. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, in many ways, Gus and Alice have set a good example. In many ways, they've set a good example for us as a church in the way that they've loved, in the way that they love. I don't really want to talk about that in the past tense. I'm talking about the past tense and the way that they love and in the way that they really care about people. That's part of how we should respond. We should imitate those things. And I would encourage you to stay connected, stay involved. Don't go off into isolation. It's not healthy. And it won't accomplish the purpose that you might think it would. Yeah, Gus and Alice, we love you. Our hearts are sad. I think there's a deep sense of loss. But we do believe that God is with you, and that God will give you exactly what you need during this time. We trust that He is doing that, and that He is in this. And, yeah. So let's pray. Father, it's with the heavy hearts, God, that we come to you today. Father, hearts that are sad, maybe a bit, there's some frustration maybe. Lord, and so we rest, God, on the promises, God, that you give us in your word. We rest on the fact, God, that you say that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We rest on your sovereignty, God, that nothing happens outside of your will. And Father, that you are at work here in ways that we can't see, God. Father, we love you, God. We love you. Thank you, God, for your deep love for us and your deep love, God, for Gus and Alice, Lord. Man, you love them so much deeper, God, than any of us could. And we're grateful for that, God. Father, guard our hearts, Lord, in this. And God, give us courage, God, to stand firm. We pray these things in Jesus' name.